Hello, this is Victor Nyauchi, listening to Clubhouse and Podcast.
Not that cricket. Hello there, welcome to the Cricket Shed Podcast. I'm joined by Darlington Matambanazo in this particular episode where we talk about the psychology of the white ball series against Pakistan. What is to be gleaned, what is to be learned, or whatever. And also, in the middle, about seven, 8 minutes into the podcast, not a long podcast, I have an exciting offer for you. An offer in as far as if you're planning to go for the series out in the test series out in Malawi, the Pakistan test series. We have an exciting offer from one of our partners.
Hi, it's Alex Lees here, Durham cricketer, and you're listening to Clubhouse End Podcast.
It is a lovely warm welcome to the Clubhouse End Podcast. No, guys, we did not abandon you because we lost the other matches. We got lost in Malawi. My name is Larry Kudirai, and I'm here, of course, with Darlington Matambanazo. I think they're going to assume that I did not buy you any alcohol since that day.
Actually, that's not true. You did buy me alcohol. You bought me alcohol after the second T20I. When was the night when we were sitting outside?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's good.
It's good to see them win.
Yeah.
And it's also good to see like a couple of young cricketers again announce themselves. So Tino Maposa was a really, really exciting to see. And honestly, I'm up there with the biggest sixes I've ever seen hit live. You know, like that was a monster, absolute monster he hit today. And then Brian Bennett got the Man of the Match award today.
I'd say the double step that he does first ball. I'm just like, this guy is aware of the situation. Which kind of was a disappointment for a little bit earlier, Tashingam Sekiwa. For me, he looks a little bit scared, doesn't he?
Yeah, but you know what it is I think one of the most difficult places to bat in T20 Internationals is number 7.
I get that, but I'm saying the situation.
No,
this is 15 going into the 16th over, maiden. Like tap and run. If it's looking like it's the basis of cricket. You know, if you can't handle it, get off strike.
No, I agree with you. I think.
I'm not saying throwing away. By the way.
No, I know, but what I also think is, game is not rounded. Tashingam Sekiwa's game is not rounded. I think when he got out, he was 7 from 16. Means he doesn't know how to rotate the strike. Because guys who can really rotate the strike, keep it around a runner ball.
Domestically, he's a big boundary guy.
Yeah. So guys who rotate the strike, keep around a runner ball. And then how you get strike rates of around 150 is go run a ball, and find a couple of boundaries. And you've got a strike rate of 150, which is what is normally required to win a T20 match. From the position that Zim was in, 10 and over. But he couldn't rotate the strike, so he was 7 from 16 when he actually got out. And so those flaws in your game, they might not be exposed at domestic level, but they get exposed more and more the further up the international, you know, like, picking order that you go.
It's almost like, if you look at situational awareness, the way he goes out is one run, two ball from three balls or something like that you need. There, at that point, Yama Posa does the right thing. Keep it down. Mm-hmm. Don't go out. So it's almost like a situational awareness, like there's a run. Yeah. So two balls, really. Three balls that were there. I don't want to harp on about him because there's some really positive performances we saw today. But it's. I think something Justin Salmon says, that these guys are going to have to learn. He gave examples of how Steve Waugh, Mark Waugh, bigger pardon, played over 100 ODIs, hadn't gotten 100 until he got 100. Sean Williams, 90. A couple of guys who got their big runs early but then struggled for a bit. And we kind of see that in Wesley as well. That he had a good start to his career, but at some point, now to push over to the next, it's sort of like what a lot of these guys are going to have to do, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think I think success initially is hard because I think we just don't have there's quality of support that guys like Wesley had, because Wesley went to one of the best cricket schools in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So he had he'd been taught a lot about the game, about the internal processes that lead to success in the game. Whereas I find a lot of our guys, when I have conversations with them, they don't understand internal processes of cricket. Right? Joel Edgumbi is one of the few guys I actually had a conversation with who understands the internal processes. But Joel Edgumbi is also 28 years old. So, and he's had life experience, and through life experience develop those internal processes. Whereas I think a lot of the guys are 21 or 22, literally this is the first time they've left home, lived away from their parents. I had no need to develop those, you know, that real understanding. How do I make myself the best version of myself? How do I give myself the best chance to succeed at what I've been called to do? You know, and I think that is, I think that's very important to understand, is what's been happening this tour is the thing that pushes most humans. Okay, because most humans don't fix their internal processes until they have an external event that, a crisis, or unless they have a really trusted mentor. So this crisis, this is external crisis, I think it's actually a good thing, because a lot of guys have to go and examine themselves. They might not do it now because they've got Afghanistan coming up starting in a week now. But they'll, after Afghanistan, because if you haven't fixed it before Afghanistan, the same problems are going to manifest themselves then. And then somewhere in January, they're going to have a little bit of a less hectic schedule. And then somebody's going to eventually sit down and be like, something's wrong with my life. What am I doing wrong? What am I not understanding? What am I not taking advantage of? Am I misunderstanding? I think that's important that we got smoked like this. I think it's very important that Zimbabwe lost this series, especially losing it with those guys. And I'm going to make another aside. Sorry, I talk a lot, but I'm going to make another aside. I think one of the most influential ideas in cricket that I have ever experienced, for me personally, the role models I had were the West Indies of the 80s and then the 70s, 80s and 90s. They went to a tour to Australia where they lost 4-0, and Clive Lloyd was playing on that tour. And then he's one of the West Indies' most successful captains. He comes back from the tour, says, listen, we've really got to go rethink. And then the whole West Indian cricket shifted, really changed the way they looked at the game of cricket. And then they went and dominated it for a decade and a half, almost into the 90s, before the Australian dominance that was under Steve Waugh began. And then, that began in a crisis. It wasn't great days where that West Indian dominance actually began. It began in a crisis of going to Australia and coming back without winning a test match. And so that 57 for me, if it's used right, can be a real turning point for not just the guys who are involved in Zimbabwe squad now, but everybody else who's coming into that. I think we should get like a 57 tattoo.
Or have it on the board in the dressing room.
Something like that. Because you know what it is the key moments in your life where there's a lesson that has to be learned. And that lesson, when understood, will carry until the day you die. And I think that's why I love cricket so much, is because there's a lot of cricket lessons that aren't just like, they don't end once you cross the boundary, that actually transfer into life. And I think bouncing back from that, the way that Zimbabwe did today, is starting to show signs that they understand that lesson.
New and exciting.
So when I go for the cricket in Bulawayo, I stay at Sterling Hotel Bulawayo. Now, it's a nice, beautiful hotel with about 50 rooms, exactly 50 rooms. And it is positioned, this is the most important thing, okay, they've got great Wi-Fi, they've got amazing food and all sorts of things. But for the cricket lover, that's who I'm talking to, it is about 200 meters away from the cricket stadium. Yes, 200 meters away from the cricket stadium. On the next episode of the Clubhouse In podcast, which comes out on Wednesday after the end of the first T20 against Afghanistan, I will be sharing offers, amazing offers for those who are planning to go for the Boxing Day test, the first
a Boxing Day test out in Bulawayo or in Zimbabwe since 1996. That's 28 years ago. And if you go for the New Year's Day test, the first ever newest New Year's Day test ever in Zimbabwe. So if you want to go out to Bulawayo and accommodations, one of the things that you've got your mind on, the next episode got some very exciting prospects for you at Sterling Hotel.
You hit the right spot.
I don't want to call it a revelation because I just always felt that this kid was just waiting for the moment to just click. Today, when I shame out of money.
You know, he had a spotless day in the field today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this game is the one he's chose to do that. You see, that five games where he wasn't keeping to his best, today was spotless as a wicketkeeper. And then, very important, he had a portion of an important partnership with Bennett up front. And he's one of those kids. This sounds like a cliche because I feel like I say it to you every time we speak almost. Every time I see Tadeo Nashimarumani, he looks better than he did the last time I saw him.
So he's learning.
He's improving. And you know what it is? He's not improving fast enough for some people. But I think I view the world in terms of 1 or 2% improvements. Mm-hmm. Because I think that those are ones that are sustainable. You know, you can't make 100% improvement. You can make series of 1, 2, or 3% improvements over a year or so, and those ones actually tell. And he's been doing that. He's been figuring what those improvements are, and doing the work.
And I guess the other thing that you want in a player, because when you have the incremental improvements. Because those have almost been ingrained in you. They're like, what you call those things? The rings on trees.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, growth rings. Yeah. And what it is what you, it's very difficult for a human mind. Okay. From my little understanding of neuroscience and whatnot, very different for a human person to actually understand 100% improvement. Imagine you'll be able to bench press 100 pounds.
All right. Anyone.
Today, and then tomorrow you'll go from 100 to bench pressing 200 pounds. Your mind doesn't really know how to process that. Your mind knows how to make it jump from 100 pounds to 101 pounds or to 105 pounds. But logically, you don't know how to, because that's called exponential improvements.
Yeah. It also reminds me of the chat I had with Sikander Raz at that time. We're talking about selection, where he said that if players just go from club cricket and they send it international, they don't have the thing that sustains you. You went into domestic, NPL or went into a next level, and that just, you now understand how you got there, so that if it's not working, you know the processes. You can go down a process and fix something. And I'm exponentially saying,
no.
Exactly. I'm expounding what he said, really, but it's sort of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Like I was, I can't remember, and I need to remember. If I remember who it is, I'll send you a link. There was a video I saw about either Novak Djokovic or someone. He was talking about, you see, I don't like people who have talent, okay? Because you know that you can't explain what talent is, okay? You've no concept of. Or I don't. Human beings don't have a real explanation of what talent is. They know what talent's effect is. Okay. And then he goes and says, well, what I've found in my own experience is that, like, talented players don't get very far. Because they've got nothing to fall back on when talent isn't enough. But those guys who work hard and think through their processes, really, really think about their game, when they have failures, they have that thought process. How do I fix this to go fall back on? And you always can improve. You know what I mean? But if a guy's very, very talented, all he knows is like a walk-in smash. If walk-in and smash doesn't work, then what do you do?
Yeah. Question. Mm-hmm. The what you call it? It's a long season's coming. Longer than usual. And we've got the tests that are coming up. What do you... The big elephant in the room is Richard Ngarawa and Blessing Zarabali. What do you do there?
I would actually look to rest them, and this is going to be controversial. I'd look to rest them in the one in the one day series and one in the T20 series, and force them to play two test matches.
To manage their load, really.
Yeah, to manage their load. But I think you learn a different aspect of bowling in test matches. T20 and whatever can actually just be about not getting smashed. It's a negative.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, whereas I think Test match cricket is like, okay, right, how do I go through a process where I've got a ball of five overs spell here? How do I go through five overs and figure out how to get this guy? He's on 87. How do I get him out before he gets to 100? It's a slightly more proactive process. You know what I mean? So I think there's a real... We haven't had enough test matches for... Because I think Blessing, if I'm correct, has played 4, 5, 6. Not many. So he's going to play these. If he plays both of these, he's played 25% more test matches than he's ever played in total.
Which is probably like 10 T20s worth.
There we go. And I think that experience of going through that process and really working with those that like... Because for me, it's a really high-level kind of thinking rather than to the lower level is, okay, how do I not get smashed here? You know what I mean? A slightly higher level is like, how do I go from not getting smashed to actually getting a quality batsman out?
Yeah. Okay, so where do people find you on the socials?
Darlington Matambanazo is my Instagram, and it's one word, my Instagram and my Facebook. I'm Dali_Mataz on X.
All right, so we're leaving Bulawayo, coming back to Harare, and we'll be doing it over at the Centurion, right? Well, I'm sure Tinashe and Shibamba will become available by then. It's busy doing school things and so forth. And are the coaching happening yet?
No. Well, yes, I have. Well, we've spoken about it off air, mm-hmm. Where I've picked up like 4 schoolboys who are going to be joining my
There's one called squad. Felsen.
Felsen, yeah. You're going to be joining my squad in January. So our practices, I think, are going to be in the second week of January.
Okay. So we'll be giving updates on that as well to see what the coaching. Yeah, my name is Larry Quidilai, and this has been the Clubhouse In podcast. We're on Spotify. We're on what you call it, that one? I always love Spotify. I listen to everything Spotify. So we're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on all those platforms.
I use Podbean.
Podbean with it as well. So again, find us on socials with freemob.com, the website 3-mob.com. Otherwise, take it for some of the people that you love. Peace out from Gobulawayo.
Thanks, Larry. Take care, everyone.
More beers.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.